learning opportunities. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions. So a few announcements that I have. A reminder that there will be a congregational meeting next Sunday. Real quick, after worship, all we need to do is elect that nominating committee, and we will do that. Also, next Sunday, you can see in your bulletin an announcement of an opportunity from the Islamic Center to hear more about religious liberty. If you have any questions, please let me know. And today, after worship, and then also on Tuesday, we begin and continue our book conversation during the season of Lent using the book Waking Up White. Please join us, even if you've just started the book. We're happy to have you to be part of the conversation. And also, a big thank you. Thank you to all the volunteers this week who came over, checked on the church after the windstorm, who began the cleanup process of big branches and twigs, and also for all those who volunteered to be part of the community warming station. We were able to have our church open for immediate needs of the town of Gates on Thursday and Friday. So thank you to all the folks who came and enjoyed probably just some quiet time in the adult lounge. So thank you. And also a reminder, folks, that the Lenten Wall of Food has begun and the need this year will be even greater. All of those families who lost power and had to completely empty out their refrigerators, for many families, especially here in Gates in the city, replenishing the stock of groceries is very difficult to do when you're starting from scratch. So I know that many of us can go and provide a few cans, a box of cereal, so please contribute to the Lenten Wall of Food. Barb Chapman also has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. I'm here again to talk about the mustard seed application process, which begins this afternoon with a required parent and student meeting to distribute applications, to talk about the process, and to answer any questions that might be out there. Now, we're supposed to meet in the adult lounge at 12:30. Is that going to work?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
We'll be done at 12:30.
Okay. So that meeting is 12:30 in the adult lounge, and hopefully we'll see lots of people there. Thank you.
Yes, the book discussion goes right until 12:15 when junior choir and junior and senior high Sunday school concludes. So now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Planted in us are urgent questions, wonderings, and callings that led us to God. Travelers and builders, with saints of every age,
we come bringing all that we are, all that we have done and left undone. Let us join together in the litany prayer of confession. In these days of information overload, we need to look and listen deeply for the call of the Spirit in our midst. Enlightening Spirit, when we get discouraged in seeking your truth in the midst of bewilderment, have mercy and clear our eyes. Challenging Spirit, when witnessing to you, truth seems to take more courage than we have. Have mercy and strengthen our determination. Surprising Spirit, when we settle for half-truths in building your beloved community, have mercy and show us a better way. We know the love of God knows no bounds. The Holy One who sent Jesus, the only begotten, to be our way, our truth, and our light. Let us feel ourselves forgiven and go forth with courage renewed. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Good morning. I love that sweater. Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Where are you going? You're kind of freaking me out a little bit, you know? Come over this way. Thank you. No freaking me out. Come on. Move this way. You guys are all troublemakers today. Is this what happens when you don't have school for 2 whole days? Oh, you guys get a little squirrely. I see how it is. You guys all made it through the windstorm, okay? Yes, some of you I know didn't have power for a while. It's fun, right? For about 2 minutes. And then you realize that you're tablets run out of power, right? Your showers are cold. And eventually, what happens to all that food in the refrigerator? It goes so bad. It's not easy to be without power, is it, when storms like that happen? No, we've gotten a little taste of that here in Rochester. What brought me great hope this week was seeing all of the ways that neighbors were kind to one another, that they helped each other, whether it was offering a nice, warm, safe place to stay. I saw neighbors out cutting down trees that had fallen. And here at church, we even opened our doors for anyone who wanted to come and warm up and charge their phones. And this morning, guess what we've got? Fish banks. What a great Sunday to give these out, because the money that you put in these fish banks goes to help people who have suffered in really, really big storms. Kids who go without power for weeks. Can you imagine? No. After hurricanes and tornadoes and floods, the money that you put in these banks helps go to those cleanup, rebuilding, and shelter efforts. So I think this Lent, we've got even a little extra motivation to be thankful and to help share what we have to help those people who don't have power for a long time, right? Can we pray together? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for neighbors who show your love to all who are in need. Help us to share your love with all whom we meet. Amen. All right, this is for you. You get one. Your Sunday school teachers have extra in case you need one for a little brother or sister or even a big brother or sister. And if you lose your fish bank between here and the car and your car and home, you can always ask me next Sunday for another one. Sound good? Okay.
Now the Lord said to Abram, go to your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you may be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all your families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord told him.
Thank you.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the very presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Our theme for Lent this year is inspired what is thought to be a 19th century African-American slave spiritual. The original hymn was first published in William Eleazar Barton's 1899 Old Plantation Hymns, and powerfully reflected the last moments of Jesus' death through the question, "Were you there?" For worship, we've adapted the song a bit to include the stories of Jesus' ministry. And of course, the question is not meant to be literal, right? But it rather invites us to see the ways our unique stories are intimately intertwined with the ones that came into view in the hills of Palestine so many years ago. So this morning, we met a man who was there. His name, Nicodemus. Not to be confused with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, with the catchy song about being a wee little man. Nicodemus is not the kind of guy that people write songs about. Books, maybe. But catchy kids' songs, not so much. But many of sermons and Christian interpretations have painted a very anti-Jewish perspective of Nicodemus to validate the truth of Jesus' teachings in this passage. I don't believe that Jesus needs us to bash the legalism or traditions of one faith tradition, to defend the perceived truths of another. This is especially relevant in our current context. We know personally from the bomb threat here in Rochester, the rise of anti-Semitism and the hatred also towards the Muslim communities. It calls us to be even more vigilant than ever about the ways that we articulate what we believe, about what is true. As followers of Jesus, while honoring what is true in faith traditions that are different from our own. And none of us, friends, none of us need to have it all figured out to know in our hearts that God is at work in this world and we are called to participate with God in loving the whole world. Take Nicodemus, for example. He's a guy who does not have it all figured out, even though he kind of thinks he does. So Nicodemus is a good guy, really. He's a well-respected member of his community. He's probably upper middle class, maybe even considered wealthy by some, well-educated, and he believes that the best way to experience life is to work hard, to do what is expected of him, to not upset the status quo. He really wants to live his faith in ways that are true. And he's feeling a little bit on edge about this very public, radical way that Jesus, living his faith, testifying to God's love in the world. And I imagine Nicodemus is internally struggling with this tension about the certainty he's known his whole life, about his relationship with God, and the new ways that God is at work in the world. There's no doubt that before Nicodemus went to visit Jesus on this night, he had heard about what had taken place in the temple. Just a few verses back into chapter 2, Jesus enters the temple and he sees the money changers smugly sitting at their tables, the people selling cattle and sheep and doves. And Jesus, you know the story, he goes all rogue on them, driving all of the people out. He throws over the tables, he tosses the money to the ground. And yet, the people recognized that what Jesus was doing could not have been done if this relationship between God and Jesus was not true. And Nicodemus says as much. His first question, a statement really, to Jesus: Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Nicodemus is playing it safe here. A very cerebral type of statement, well thought out, measured. He says what he knows to be true, based on what he has learned from experience, the teachings of his tradition. And it's almost like what he's going after here is just confirmation. You see, Nicodemus already believes that he has the truth. And all he needs is for Jesus to tell him he's right. Who doesn't like it when people tell us we're right? And Nicodemus has a lot riding on this. So when Jesus says to him, the truth is no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, the way that Nicodemus responds to Jesus is not one of ignorance or lacking common sense. He's not so dim-witted to think that Jesus was suggesting that he literally, a grown man, climb back into his mother's womb, no thank you, and be born again. His confusion arises precisely because he is more than familiar with the rabbinical traditions and methods and teachings of truth and symbols. This concept of being born again in Pharisaic Judaism has a multitude of meanings. To be born again happens first when you are born, and then at Jewish confirmation or bar mitzvah. It happens again when you become married, ordained as a rabbi. And then, if one is so fortunate to become the head of a rabbinical teaching school, as Nicodemus has. In fact, all of these things are true about Nicodemus. I can almost see him making that mental checklist of all those things that have happened in his life. 13, 20, 30, 50 years old, give or take. You see, what Nicodemus is really saying to Jesus here is, I can't start all over. It's too late. I'm too set in my ways. I've got too much invested here. Too much to lose, Jesus. The bottom line is, I'm really just too old for all this. Might sound familiar. But Jesus doesn't offer Nicodemus a comforting pat on the back with a, you're right, Nicodemus, it is too late for you. Why don't you just head home? Go back to bed. Jesus continues to challenge and encourage Nicodemus to be open to the ways that God's love will not only transform his life, but that of the world. You know, I thought a lot about Nicodemus. Kind of an unusual way. I was watching the ABC miniseries, When We Rise. I often think of myself as born a generation too late. So I'm inspired by the portrayals and struggles for justice from the 1960s, the grit and the passion and the sacrifice of so many, and in this case, the LGBT community. The sacrifices they make to love and be who God created them to be in their families, their communities, their churches rejected them. The tenacity, the resilience of communities whose partners and friends were dying from the AIDS epidemic to continue the struggle for basic rights. Access to health care, the ability to legally marry and serve in the military. The miniseries progresses through the various rallies and vigils, community organizing events, as these powerful reminders of the collective witness needed to effect change and show God's love in the world. Like Nicodemus could have been any one of those early allies. Maybe he had a friend or a family member who was gay. And where we meet Nicodemus in this story is he is just starting to figure out what it meant for his life to go all in and be part of the movement of the Holy Spirit, to really live God's love in this world for all people. Nicodemus was just aching to feel that tension stirring inside him, the one that motivates him to come to Jesus and to wonder aloud, how can these things be? And today, Nicodemus might be asking the same question about transgendered persons being singled out as criminals, persons who are undocumented and fearful of deportation, the racism being experienced by African Americans, and the hatred being directed at our Jewish brothers and sisters once again for their loyalty to the God of Israel, our God. For the Muslims vilified for devotion and obedience to Allah, the Arabic translation for God, our God. Now, Jesus doesn't shame Nicodemus for asking questions, for seeking truth in the night. He doesn't call him a failure for not having gotten involved sooner or accuse him of being part of a self-absorbed or lazy generation that doesn't get it. Jesus doesn't offer Nicodemus a free pass to stay where he's at either. Jesus challenges him to boldly step into a journey of faith, to let go of what he has known, thinks he knows, so that he has this opportunity for new life. And now we may not see all the details of how Nicodemus' journey for seeking the truth works out. He disappears from the story after he asks the question. But if you keep reading through John's Gospel, Nicodemus shows up again. Twice, actually. At the end of chapter 7, we'll see him asking other religious leaders if Jesus should be convicted before a trial, doing what he feels he can do in the political climate to create a fair playing field this time, in the daylight, and presumably at a much greater cost to himself. And then after the crucifixion, it's Nicodemus who joins Joseph of Arimathea. They take Jesus' body from the cross, and they lay it in a tomb. It's Nicodemus who brings 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes to embalm the body. Now, I confess to not being up on my knowledge of ancient practices of embalming, but this just sounds excessive. Because at the end, John wants us to know that Nicodemus, the guy who comes in the night, the guy who thinks that he has all of the truth, Jesus shows him another way, the guy who thinks he's too old for all this, the guy getting started. At the end, Nicodemus shows up, and he goes all in. Just when I thought I was born a generation too late, I realize the question. Stirrings, seeking for the truth is emerging in each of our hearts, our lives, our families, and communities today. We are here focusing our energy on seeking the truth that God's love was sent into this world, not to condemn it, but that wherever we are, whoever we are, we might all participate in that love now and in the days to come. May it be so for you and for me. Amen. gather in this place, we bring our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern, and if you would like to share a prayer aloud, raise your hand. The usher will bring the microphone. Let us know who you are and make sure you speak close to the microphone so we can hear you.
Good morning. I'm Keisha Binko. I'd just like to ask for continued prayers for David Keeling, who came home from the hospital a couple of days ago. He's still in a great deal of pain, and so prayers for his continued healing. Also, Diane asked for specific prayers for her as she's physically and emotionally exhausted beyond words. So just keep Diane in your prayers as she continues to care for David now at home. Thank you.
Kate Stanford, for a family friend whose brother survived cancer, and there was a lot of joy only to have him get an infection. He's now in hospice, so he's only got a few days to live. So for their family as they have to struggle with this.
Prayers for that family, Kate.
Jean Buettner. I just want to say that I talked with Doris Belknap this week, and she's settling in well at St. John's and getting used to things there and people there, and seems to be doing well. Sounded good. So prayers for her and her new adventure in life.
Prayers for Doris.
Jerry and Pam Crandall. Haven't really given an update on our daughter, Shelley, that's battling the breast cancer probably since Christmas. She's going back to work tomorrow.
Amen. And
she is beyond thrilled and excited, can't wait. And she is not done with her treatment yet, but it's going well. And so Jerry and I want to thank you for all your prayers and support. It's really meant so much. And we ask that you still keep your prayers because they're working. Thank you.
We will continue to pray for Shelley. Prayers from our children today. Of great joy, today is Evelyn's birthday, so happy birthday to her. And prayers something about dancing. So we'll just say prayers of joy for dancing. And continued prayers for all those who don't have power and have had damages to their home. So prayers continue. One more? Go ahead.
I was just going to ask for prayers for people in the Jewish community as I visit the Jewish home and see a security guard, which wasn't there before. They're just aching and it's sad. It's very sad.
Prayers for our friends in the Jewish community. Indeed. Let us pray. God of Abram and Nicodemus, God of all of us who think we are too old, too poor, too small, too weak, or too busy, God of all of us daunted by the sheer wonder of the plan that you lay out before us, we come to you now aware of all you have done for us. We are seekers of the truth on this Lenten journey. And God, we are here. We are here in this world where so many are homeless. We pray for the people who are hungry, who are in need of clothing, housing, for those who continue to be without power, for those who will have to make difficult choices of fixing their roofs, buying next week's groceries, or paying for the heat. And we pray for the women and men who lay down their lives for the safety of brothers and sisters and neighbors. God, we pray for all those who lead us. God, we pray for all those who long for new beginnings, those who are imprisoned and estranged, who leave loved ones behind, for those who are ill. It's
Especially we pray for David Keeling, for our homebound members and those in care facilities. Give them all new life by the power of your Spirit and help us to see how we can be present with them as your hands and your feet. We pray for your holy church, O God. Give us the courage to leave everything behind and follow you. Give us the faith to act on what we do not understand. Bless us to be a blessing to everyone in your name. God, you are the God of Abram, Nicodemus, and all of us. Hear us, help us, even as surely as the Spirit blows among us, and for the sake of your dear Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us give generously from the blessings which God has entrusted to each of us as we receive this morning's offering.
Generous God, you shower us with gifts, including the greatest gift of all, your own Son, Jesus Christ. In thanksgiving and praise, we offer you our time, our money, ourselves. In these actions, we proclaim our intention to be a blessing in your word, world. Amen.
Amen.
friends, we go out into this world knowing that God's love is for all of us and for this entire world. Go now showing that love, confident in the grace of God, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and the courage it takes from the Holy Spirit to do it each and every day. Amen.